How's it going, everybody? So I just got done watching the Shogun finale. I can't even remember whether I've done a podcast talking about Shogun yet or not. But just in case I haven't, because I didn't look at my own feed, which I probably should have before I started this, but I didn't. I just wanted to dive right in while the feeling is fresh. I watched the first three episodes. You know, the first week I watched the first two episodes, the next week I watched. But then, for whatever reason, this reason or that, I didn't continue watching it, you know. Life stuff, mindset, like, I just lots of different things. Reasons, you know. But I knew that the finale was coming last night, and so I planned on today watching the rest of the show, you know, 4 through 10. And that's what I've been doing all day, is watching Shogun. So before I continue, this is going to be spoilery. This is actually one of those shows where it's kind of hard to talk about without talking about spoilers. So if you haven't watched it, I highly, 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 highly recommend watching it. Do not let this show be spoiled for you. There is a regular way to watch it where it's mostly all subtitles because they're speaking Japanese. But there's also a dubbed version too on Hulu that you can watch. So if you're not into the whole reading subtitles thing, there is a dubbed version too. And it's not terrible. It's weird, but it's not terrible. Like, that's the version my dad watches. So, like, and I actually watched episode 3 with him for a second time with the dubbed, and it's not bad. It's not as bad as you would think it is. It's still not my preferred, but it's okay. It's decent. But yeah, so that's your warning. Now's your chance to leave. 3, 2, 1, here we go. All right. I pretty much have to echo pretty much everything I've seen on social media. This show is revolutionary in a lot of different ways, but not necessarily in the way that you would necessarily initially think of revolutionary. Like, it's not one of those things where it's like it does something like different that's never been done on TV. And you know, to that, word, I would say, I don't think there is anything that anyone can do in movies or TV that hasn't been done before. It's just doing it well and doing it doing a story in a way that works, right? You know, by this point, I feel like we've pretty much seen everything on screen that there is to see. Now it's just the package. The package looks different, you know? I don't know if there's any other previous versions of Shogun. I haven't read the book. I definitely want to after watching the show. But I definitely echo everything that I've seen online. This is one of the best shows that I've seen in a long time. You know, I won't lie, you know, after the first two episodes, there was something about it that I wasn't sure about it. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't in love with it like a lot of other people were. I could tell where it was going and stuff like that. But after the third episode, I was like, okay, I get it. You know, like, I completely understand what this is now, and I am completely on board for this. And you know, as much as I wish I would have stayed up to date with it so that I could be in on it with it with everybody that I follow on YouTube and everything, like, I'm kind of glad that I watched it now, because let's dive into one of the story elements, you know, which is arguably like the most gut-wrenching storyline, and and the show, which is Mirko, and her and Blackthorn, those last two episodes fucked me up, man. The third episode fucked me up too, but the eighth episode fucked me up too, but. Because I loved Tornaga's son, and I really wanted, he was the one character that I really wanted to make it out, you know. I mean, I like all of the characters, you know, to different aspects, you know, at least the main characters, you know. But I was bummed when his son got killed off. I wasn't a big fan of that. But then the next episode happens, and it's like, all right. I love the way that they did her story in this show. Because in the beginning, you really don't know what kind of a character, how important she's going to be. And then I would argue, after about the fourth episode, you're like, okay, there's something here, but I'm still not quite... How important are you really? And then they just hit you over the head with it, with like episode 8 and episode 9, where you really understand she really is at the center of this whole thing. And, you know, once you find out her whole story, your heart just breaks for her in a lot of different ways, you know? You respect her. You are taken aback by her character. And, you know, I think maybe I'm interpreting the character wrong. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing on screen. Maybe there's a more definitive take in the book. But I think she's very much caught between a weird spot. I think she wanted death for so long for two different reasons. One, obviously because of her very abusive husband, but also because of, you know, because you can't say she wanted to honor her father's wishes, because I don't think she knew until Toranaga told her. So, but I think she wanted to die because the rest of her family was dead. She didn't want to, you know, be around anymore. But I think once she was told about her father's, like, real plan and why he sent her off, I think for her that gave her purpose. A purpose that she really, really needed, you know? And I don't think it's one of those things where she wanted to die like she was suicidal or something, you know? But the way that... I can't remember the actress's name who plays her, but the way she plays the character, she does this brilliant way of, you can see life in her and a strength in her, but you can really see this, like, just this broken down individual too. And she plays that dichotomy beautifully well. And then even on top of that, there are these beautiful moments that she has with Blackthorn, where you think maybe she's opening up just a little bit, right? But when they're put in that position at the end of episode 8, I think that's when her true, at the end of the day, natural instincts, like, came through and was like, and she was just like, this is my chance. This is it. And she took it. And, you know, it's funny being on the journey with Blackthorn from the beginning of this series, because, one, I wasn't sure how I felt about the actor and the way he was portraying the character. It felt very much B-movie-like, very, like, kind of over-the-top, whereas pretty, like, the rest of, like, the Japanese actors, or even the other, like, you know, white actors, if you want to call them that, like... They didn't really come off that way to me. You know, they very much felt lived in this world. Whereas there was something about the way Blackthorne is portrayed by this actor that in the beginning I wasn't sure how I felt about it. It felt very noticeable. But after watching the entire show, I kind of wonder if that's on purpose. You know? Because this is sort of a what's the phrase that people use? Like a fish out of water story, you know? Like he is a stranger in a foreign land. And the fact that his cadence and the way that he speaks is so vastly different from everybody else really plays into that. So in a way, like, if it was on purpose, that's kind of ingenious. And I think I've grown to really appreciate it by the end now. But as I started to say, in the beginning, it is very clear that Blackthorne is this extremely selfish. He's got his own thing in mind that he's doing. He does not care about anything else that's going on, you know? And you can really see slowly as the show progresses, he's learning more about the culture, more about the people, and whether he wants to be or whether he likes it or not, he finds himself actually caring for some of the people that he's around. Because here's the thing, he might be a dick, but he's not evil, right? I mean, he is willing to put his life in danger multiple times to save people and to do the right thing. But he's got his own mission at hand, like, and he doesn't ever lose sight of it. Even up until the very end of the story, he never loses sight of what he wants. He knows exactly what he wants. But it broke me in that last episode when they are rowing away in the rowboat, him and the guy that betrayed all of them. I can't think of the character's name. And he is just fighting himself from sobbing, you know? That broke me. That moment absolutely kicked me in the gut. Because, yeah, you know, I mean, I think arguably she is the character in the show that, I don't know if this is necessarily the correct terminology, but you kind of wanted her to have that, like, redemption story, you know, or that, like, you wanted everything to work out for her in the end, you know? But that's not what happened. And I think one of the beautiful things that I love about this too is, but like, while I'm on the topic of Blackthorne, is what this show did really well that a lot of shows try to do and a lot of shows really miss the mark, and that's the idea that by the end of all this, you can tell that Blackthorne is a different man than he was in the beginning of the show. You know, maybe not, like, he's still him. He's still got his cadence. He's still got his humor and his brashness and all of that. But, you know, when he's got that scene with Toranaga where he's begging him not to take out his anger on the village, and that whole scene, like, the man that we saw at the beginning of this in episodes 1 and 2 would not be doing that, you know? Like, after all that he's been through, after watching, you know, everything that happened, like, he really was, I feel like, broken. I don't know, it was just great. It was just really great. And it's weird saying this because they really don't focus on her a lot until, like, the back half of this, of the season. But she really is the most important storyline in this whole thing. She is the crux of this whole thing, and it's really brilliant. You know, I mean, it really is. The more you unpackage it and you think about it, just, it's really, really, really clever. It's really, really good. But I love all the characters. I mean, I love Torunaga. Like, I thought that he would probably be my favorite character coming out of the whole show. And he's definitely up there still for me. And it's funny, like, knowing the final scene of the show, it really recolors some of the earlier moments that happen, you know. I love the fact that he is so I don't want to say faithful, but like, he's trusting of the universe, you know what I mean? Like, he's not bothered by the whims of others and the worries of others. Like, he's got his way of doing things, and he's pretty confident in them, you know? And it's funny because, like, you know, after finishing the show, after he loses his son, I'm not even really fully convinced that he was really... I don't know how much of him being messed up by his son's death was real and him putting on a show for everyone else. You know? Because we already know by the end of the show that his, basically his best friend, you know, doing the whole ritual and killing himself and them staring each other down, like, we know that that all was planned, basically. We know at that point that they both knew that this had to happen to convince everybody else and to make this situation look real. And so I don't think he planned his son's murder, and I don't think, like, it goes that deep, but I think that situation really played in his favor into putting him in the position that he's in, and he used it to his benefit. And just such an interesting character. The show is just written extremely well. And I'm a wreck after watching it now. So I'm going to get caught up on the last two episodes of Chucky, because I haven't been able to get caught up on Chucky yet. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch some some murder dolls. Get my mind off of this. In a slightly different state of mind, because I need it. But the last thing I will say this, and this isn't so much just about Shogun, it's just about TV in general right now. But look, we have had two current TV shows back to back, almost, or concurrently, with Fallout and Shogun. And there is, and look, to really to send the point home, it's an older series, but I just got done watching Avatar The Last Airbender from the early aughts, the cartoon from Nickelodeon. 3 seasons. And I watched Legend of Korra. I think Korra is just as good as... Well, I shouldn't say just as good. I really like Legend of Korra. I don't think it gets... It doesn't deserve the rep that everybody gives it. But when you look at Avatar The Last Airbender, which is a kid's show, all right? And then you look at shows like Shogun and shows like Fallout. And when you go to last year, you talk about shows like The Last of Us. Like, even more now, Disney has no excuse for doing what they do with their shows. Whether it's Star Wars or Marvel or whatever the fuck. Because I know they like to think that they can do the whole 30-minute episode shit and that be enough, but you really can't. Like, all of these Shogun episodes were an hour plus long. And you need that time. And it just goes to show, like, what happens when you give this thing time, you know? You know, look, there are definitely instances where you could do the shorter episode thing and it works. Like for WandaVision, I think doing half an hour episodes work because it fits into the whole old TV show sitcom model kind of thing. Like it works to the show's benefit in that regard. But The Mandalorian needs to be an hour long. You know, Falcon and Winter Soldier needs to be an hour long each episode. There are all of these other shows and other things that they do that need to be an hour long, and they won't do it. And it drives me the nuts. And I just, after watching Fallout, after watching Shogun, there's just some really good TV right now. It's like, you know, I've seen everyone talk wonders about The Bear, which I haven't watched. I need to watch that and check it out. But there's so many shows I feel like I need to get caught up on, because I feel like right now we're living in the era of like some of the best TV shows ever. But if you've happened to listen to all this without watching Shogun, look, you got to watch this thing because it's phenomenal. I give this thing a 10 out of 10. It really is, to me, I feel like on the level with Game of Thrones. And I really wish I had been watching the show week to week, you know? I mean, I'm glad that I had the experience that I did, because I feel like for me personally, it was better. But I really do also wish that I kind of was in a better mind spot and like, or mind space, and like made myself watch it week to week, because I think I would have had fun following this with everyone else. Because I don't know if we're gonna get another show like this in a long time. Yeah, it's just it's a really beautiful, heavy, philosophical masterpiece. I'm definitely gonna be sitting on this for a while. So, yeah, 10 out of 10. What can I say? Well, that's kind of my review for Shogun as a series. It gets my raving review. So I will see you guys in the next podcast. Peace out.